gaming, typical podcast. We are here with Mikey from Santee. He's kind of the resident gunslinger that's at Comic-Con at the moment. Go ahead and say hi, Mikey.
Hello, gunslingers. Hey. Mikey from Santee here.
Awesome. So, thank you. I know you've probably had a long couple days of probably goodness, right?
Yeah, it's been a lot of craziness the last couple days, for sure.
Yeah, and let's break that down. You've had, we're like 2 days of, two official days of Comic-Con 2013, right?
Right, so Thursday and today are official days. I was also there Wednesday night, which is preview night as well.
Where did they preview? Like, what did they do on preview night?
Yeah, so preview night is basically a night that only people who have either paid for all 4 days plus preview, or like professionals and exhibitors get to go into the exhibit hall and take a look at the different shops and services that are happening in there. Kind of gives the people who have the preview night a little extra advantage as far as getting the feel of what the layout of the shops are, as well as getting some of the freebies that some of the booths may be offering to all the guests.
Swag, has it? Is that
swag? Exactly.
Is that too much 2004? I'm not too sure. So
no, it's very much today, actually.
Okay, awesome. So on the first day, I guess it was yesterday, right? The first full day. What did you take in? What did kind of walk us through what you saw?
All right. Well, as I mentioned before, I go mostly for the games. Let's see, on Thursday, I'm trying to go back that far.
Yeah, must seem like one long day, kind of.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
We're recording this at 12:30 at night, so you just got home from a trolley, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, let's start with that. So, I don't live in San Diego proper. Mm-hmm. I live in a suburb called El Cajon, and I drove to Santee to take the trolley from the very beginning of the trolley all the way out to downtown. And that trek on the trolley is 1 hour. Oh. Was worth of time.
You had 3DS with, I bet, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. More on that later. Yeah. But yes, did have my 3DS with me. So took the trolley out there. We went, me and my friends actually took, I think, the second trolley out there. The first trolley left around 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. So we, before the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
We basically arrived around, I want to say, 6:30-ish. And me being a volunteer, I go to a different place than the rest of my friends go. They have to go and get their badge first in one line and then go to another line that is about 50 times longer than the badge line to get into Comic-Con.
You see, you mentioned that the other day, and you never clicked in. You're actually volunteering during Comic-Con this year,
right?
So I don't know how much you can say, but like what does that entail usually?
Well, as a volunteer, for every day that I do a 3-hour shift, doing something that they would like me to do, I get to go into Comic-Con for free for the rest of the day.
Nice.
So it's a nice deal. As a San Diegan, I'd like to see Comic-Con stay in San Diego. So it's kind of my little way of helping out. And it also helps me save $175.
Yeah. So. Small detail. So,
yeah.
Yes, sir. What was the, so after you do your volunteering, what was the first, like, event or show or main item that you got to kind of participate in?
Well, the first item on the list was most definitely to go to the games area. So I went to Capcom first.
Oh, nice. What are they showing? What are they showing?
Well, the very first thing that I saw was Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies.
It's a 3DS, right?
For 3DS, yes. That all I saw was really just a trailer for the game, but it appears like it's going to be coming out sometime this fall, which I'm really excited about because it, I've been waiting for a new Phoenix Wright game to play for a while.
Yeah, they've done really well. I think, who is it, Level 5 is part of that? Am I, maybe I'm confusing with another developer. I'm not too
sure. Yeah, I'm not too sure on that one. I didn't really see Level 5's name thrown out there for that game. But I'm sure whoever's doing it, they seem to be keeping with the spirit of the game, so I'm trusting that it'll be a good finished product.
So on the first day, were you? Did they have any like hands-on like demos of any games or?
Yeah. So as far as Capcom, I didn't really see too many hands-on demos in the main Capcom booth. They had DuckTales Remastered.
Oh, nice.
Several stations of that to play, and they even had a photo op there where you could pose in a pile of coins as Scrooge McDuck or, you know, whatever.
Now,
and they even had a top hat in there for you.
Did you play the original NES DuckTales?
I did.
Or you did.
It's one of my favorite games on the NES, definitely.
So just by what you saw, does it seem like it keeps the spirit? Like, how much does it feel like an updated classic?
It feels spot on as far as the controls, and the look and feel is nice and sharp. I really like it a lot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, after what Capcom kind of showed, did they show any fighters, by the way?
I didn't see any new fighters. I did see an old classic there, though. Dungeons and Dragons, I think it's called Shadows of Mystara or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they're for digital download, I think, on all three main systems, I think, and PC, obviously. They're kind of bringing back, updated those, I guess, two arcade classics.
Yeah, and they had that on display to play as well. I didn't get to play it, but one of my friends did, and it did really look pretty sharp. So
cool.
That's encouraging, because I did play it, though, when I was younger, although I wasn't very good at it. But
now, when they're showing off the games, the demos, what platform are they using? Like, can you tell, or do they have that kind of closed off?
It was kind of closed off. It was almost like an arcade game.
Oh, really? Cool.
As I could tell. But I'm pretty sure there was a console in there of some sort.
Yeah. So what happened after, I guess, your Capcom experience?
Well, that wasn't the end of the Capcom experience.
Oh, okay. No, sorry.
Of course, a Capcom experience can't be complete without actually going to the Capcom store over there. And they have all sorts of goodies. I believe it's now, what's it, the 25th anniversary of Mega Man?
Oh.
And even though they didn't really have a game to show for it, they had all sorts of Mega Man merchandise there. I ended up getting a little Mega Man plushie, but the the big, but yeah, it's a pretty cool one. kind of looks like the powered up version.
Oh, okay.
But the big one that I couldn't really afford to get, but is the Comic-Con exclusive, is a big Mega Man statue about about 1 to 1.5 feet tall that lights up. His Mega Buster lights up. It's pretty cool. And it comes in a nice package. It's a square box that is an E-Tank.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Since Mega Man, the big news during E3 was that Mega Man was joining the roster for the first time in Super Smash Bros. Did Capcom seem to touch on that at all, or are they kind of leaving that with Nintendo?
They kind of left that with Nintendo, but I didn't really see anything about Smash Brothers from Nintendo's booth or the gaming lounge, so that that kind of was like left off the table entirely, I think, here at Comic-Con.
It's interesting. So what kind of happened next? Big moment that you think sticks out, particularly with gaming.
Yeah, as far as gaming, the next booth I went to was Nintendo. Pikmin, and I don't play Pikmin, so I thought it was Olimar that I was posing with, but I was corrected by someone else, and I have no idea what the captain's name is, but whatever, it's on my Facebook page.
No.
But yeah, it's cool because Nintendo has those photo ops, and then they have a little station where you can then send the picture either to your email or Facebook or Twitter, so there.
I know Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate is, I think, still one of the top sellers for the Wii U. It has a lot of replay value, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So that's what I saw from Nintendo on the actual floor over there, the exhibit floor. They had most of the cool stuff over at the gaming lounge at the hotel next door.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it a point to visit that place actually a lot more often. Of course, me being a Nintendo fan, so
right.
That's one of the stops. I didn't get to go there immediately, but the panels, because those are also usually where they have like the big announcement of my Comic-Con experience to do that.
Oh yeah, totally.
Oh yeah. Well, so those are details, you know.
Yeah.
Deal with later on, of course, right?
So, what else kind of caught your eye that you?
This morning, we decided to go to the back of the Comic-Con building because there is a ship docked in the bay behind it that is marked Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Oh, nice. What kind of ship? Well, do you know? Or it wasn't like a pirate ship or anything, was it?
Like it was.
Wow.
yes, it was a pirate ship.
Very cool.
And it just so happens that the Assassin's Creed 4 is one of the sponsors for Video Games Live, the concert.
Oh.
That concert, if you don't know, is a concert created by Tommy Tallarico, where he takes the local orchestra has them do a concert of video game music from like all different genres. It's a really cool experience because they have screens, really big screens above the orchestra, so you can see like the video game itself while they're playing, all these show lights and everything. It's hard to explain. You really have to see it. If you haven't seen a Video Games Live concert before and one comes by your area, you really should check it out, because there's nothing like it. It's really awesome. But the reason I went to the ship is because that concert is free.
Uh-huh.
And you get VIP seating if you do a scavenger hunt that starts at that ship.
Oh, really? Was it Assassin's Creed themed, the scavenger hunt?
Yes. the ship is, too. So you had to go on the ship and acquire an Assassin's Creed 4 inflatable sword. Then you had to take that sword and go to four locations, three of which were at Comic-Con proper, and one that was off-site in the Glasslamp Quarter, and take a picture at each of those sites with the sword in your hand, and then go back to the ship, and then you would get your VIP badge. Oh. So that was kind of a little fun little gig. And while we were at the ship, they also did a weapons demonstration. And, they also, at 10 o'clock when they opened, they fired the cannons. And they were loud. It was also kind of funny because while they were about to fire the cannons, some yacht decided to, for some reason, pull up near the pirate ship. And, like into the range of the cannons. And we were like, they're gonna freaking...
You're going
to
sink
that ship.
Yeah, you're going to sink.
But they moved out of the way, and then they fired the two cannons and started letting us in. It was pretty funny, and we also got to see exclusive footage of Assassin's Creed 4, which looks really beautiful, by the way. So
I know,
yeah,
some people.
I know I said this with all of the other games, so apparently I don't play any games, but I don't play Assassin's Creed, but this game looks awesome, and if I were to get a PS4 or a Xbox One, I would have. They really did their homework on the history of the time period they're trying to go with on this game. And I think people will be impressed, and they probably might even learn something about the history of pirates. You know, I don't know why you would buy the game to learn about pirates, but I think you learn something about pirates and pirate ships and stuff there.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was a big one today. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm trying to plug in my headset because it's going to die. A wireless one. So
oh, gotcha. Bluetooth.
All right, there we go. Yeah, so we did that. Trying to think what else. Oh, yeah. So as a volunteer, as I said, I have to do a three-hour shift each day. On Thursday, I... was given the task of being a gopher for the on-site, what they call it? It's basically their central location for, you know, when other employees need, like, signage or other things to get stuff done. They go there to get the help. So they have a bunch of computers all set up, and the room's freezing and everything. but it was kind of a boring job in a way, because I'm supposed to deliver messages, but they only really sent me on two postal jobs.
No, okay, yeah.
So, you know, 3 hours, you only do two walkthroughs. That's you're sitting a lot doing nothing.
No.
But the savior of Comic-Con gamers everywhere is the 3DS. So
there's a lot of street passing, right?
So. There was massive street passing. Like, I would say just in that 3 hour period, I got 10, 20, 30, about 150 street passes. And I'm just sitting, and people are just walking on the outside of the room, you know, going from panel to panel or from point A to point B, and I'm just getting massive street passes. So it's the same thing when I'm in a line, you know, like I was waiting for the Assassin's Creed boat to open, you know.
Yeah.
It's just something that kind of takes your mind off of just sitting there, you know.
Well, did you see, you know, like, obviously Ubisoft kind of took advantage of such a big event. Did you notice any other studios or gaming companies also doing that? Or it seemed like they were kind of the main focus for as far as the gaming, you know, presentations go.
Well, I know that Xbox, Microsoft, set up a lounge this year.
Okay.
I haven't been to the lounge yet, but I'm told that it's gaming-wise, they have some great setups there. I think it's probably not going to be as successful as the Nintendo one, simply because they require a Comic-Con badge for you to get in.
Oh, okay.
While the Nintendo one doesn't.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I've been telling all my local friends, you know, you don't have a Comic-Con badge, but you're a gamer. You should go check out the Nintendo Gaming Lounge, and they don't care. In fact, on their advertising, they say you don't need a badge.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, then, my next question is about, are they showing any Mario Kart?
No. Oh. I was really hoping to see that. But they are showing Super Mario 3D World. I got to play that.
Okay.
That cat power up is fun.
Is it?
Yes, it is very fun. It's also fun to cheat that flagpole and just land on it and then climb up to get a 1-up. I thought I was going to feel cheap, but it's actually pretty cool. I also got to play Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Got to play a couple boss battles on that.
Weren't they also... there's a new Zelda one, right, coming out? It's like very much SNES style?
I didn't get to play that. I don't think I saw that there, actually, but I did see Zelda Wind Waker HD.
Oh, really?
I got to play that, but that was kind of annoying, but it wasn't really the game's fault.
Really?
See, going back to the swag idea, Nintendo gives a lot of swag at their gaming lounge, and one of the things that they give is t-shirts.
Okay.
And I'm wearing one right now. It's the shirt that you get when you earn 3 tickets in their gaming lounge. And the way you get a ticket is, supposedly anyway, is you play one of their demo games. So I had 2 tickets at the time after playing the 2 Mario games that I mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
And going back to that for a moment, I was really sad because when I played Mario 3D World, the person before me was the last person to get a foam Mario hat.
Oh.
But it ran out. Jerks. yeah, and they're giving away Mario and Luigi foam hats for playing the 3D World game.
Well, tell me if my impression's wrong. It seems like, as far as Comic-Con it goes, Nintendo kind of got into that scene before the other companies, and they still kind of have more presentations than you would say Microsoft or Sony? Or is that not true at this point?
I don't think so. I don't think they have more than Sony and Microsoft. I just think that the way Nintendo goes about it is a lot different than what Microsoft and Sony do. I know that Microsoft's booth in previous years were very popular because of the games that were coming out, especially Halo 4 back then. Right. I didn't really see as much buzz around the Xbox One this time around.
Okay.
They weren't really just kind of leave that at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But as far as both Sony and Microsoft goes, how much of their presence were there kind of generating, reminding people that they're coming out with consoles? Or were they not there in that kind of level?
PlayStation, you could see PlayStation 4 from a mile away. In that building. So they're advertising at Sony. On the other hand, Microsoft has Xbox logos all over the place. And when I was at Capcom's booth, it took me a good 20 seconds to realize that the consoles that were sitting in their booth were all Xbox Ones. Because they don't have the Xbox One logo prominently displayed. So I'm not really sure what that was all about. I don't know. I think I might have said it before, but I'm not really impressed with Microsoft's marketing department. So
yeah, well, I think, you know, whether you're a fan of their systems or not, I don't think any fan is really particularly happy with them as far as their marketing goes. I think once the thing comes out, everyone's going to be fine, but they're not doing very well in the generating interest.
Yeah, no, they're not building hype, let's put it that way.
So, did they, like, did either Sony or Microsoft appear to have the actual physical consoles there, or not so much?
The consoles were there. I didn't really put too much emphasis on trying to get in those big lines to play them. They had the actual consoles there, yes.
And that seemed to be kind of a huge draw of the attendees. There was getting a chance to get in that line and maybe try it out a little bit, or?
Right. Mostly the reason I didn't want to go to the Sony one is because that line was huge. And the reason I didn't want to go to the Microsoft one is because I plan on actually going to the Xbox Lounge sometime today or tomorrow. And I think based on previous experience with their lounge last year, that's a better setting to be trying out their games. So.
Yeah. Well, I've kept you for half an hour, so I appreciate that. I know I promised you would be like just a 15-minute thing, but I appreciate you coming in and talking. Hopefully, you know, if the time works out, if you don't mind popping back in and kind of giving us some information about what you notice on the Xbox Lounge, and if you brave the line, the Sony Lounge, you know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, most definitely.